you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
We're back. It's Believe You Me. I'm the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake. Here's the count. Holy shit.
Whoa, hot out the gate. My God, you're echoing in my ear holes. You're so loud and aggressive and excited, Lewis.
I am very excited.
Happy Monday, everybody. Why are you so excited? What's going on?
I'm a little bit, I'm a little energetic today. This is my last podcast of the day. After this, me and my chick are going to go get some dinner. Go to a little steakhouse, go to the steam room, the sauna. There's a little Russian bathhouse right near me. Ooh, so
that sounds nice. I love that. I miss that. Hold on. The UK just went into a lockdown. So apologies, everyone in the UK. But what is the situation there? I don't want to get into COVID shit. I'm dying because like I'm still traveling a little bit with the UFC, but everywhere you go, the sauna and the steam rooms are always closed off. But not in New York.
Not in Jersey.
What the fuck?
So you can, I think in a lot of places, maybe not in California. I have no idea. You really got to look it up. In Jersey, like personal spas are open. So sauna, steam, Russian bathhouse, if you guys don't know, they'll have like, you know, five or six different saunas. They have five different steam rooms. They have a cold room. They have, you know, hot tub, cold dip, little workout room, like a little gym as well. You spend like $40 a day and you just go there and you eat fruit and you drink a little alcohol.
Can I say something? Like, since we started doing this podcast, I mean, it's great. It's lovely to see the evolution of Luis J. Gomez. But, you know, a little bit bougie these days, Luis, if I do say so. I mean, once upon a time, you would have been, oh, I was going to drink some whiskey and I'm going to smoke some weed and get high and then play some video games. Now, oh, you're off to a fancy steakhouse. You're going to go sauna, Russian spa. You're going to eat some fruit and some champagne and caviar. I mean, I don't even know who this person is.
I've always loved a good sauna and a good steam. It's one of my favorite things in the world is to sit in the steam room. And as you guys know, Equinox, their locker rooms are shut down. Their showers are shut down. So even if you're an Equinox member, you can't. But I know in Jersey, dude, Jersey's, it's a different attitude here. You know, yeah. Everyone voted for Trump here. Nobody cares that he lost. Everyone's just like, cool, sauna open. Let's go.
I remember when I fought Rashad Evans, UFC 78, that was in Newark, New Jersey.
I was there.
And I know you were. And, I flew in by myself because I was all the team had to go out a little bit early. So I went in by myself. And when I got there, I was driving along the freeway and there was a sign close to the hotel, huge billboard, please help stop the killings. And I was like, holy shit, I'm not in fucking Clitheroe anymore. That's for sure.
Yeah, dude, Newark is a fucking.
Is it bad? Is it that bad?
Newark can be kind of bad. Newark's not that bad. There's other areas that are worse in Jersey. Where my father was murdered, it was Paterson, New Jersey. To this day, I drove through Paterson recently just being like, oh, it's probably come up a little bit. It is a war zone. It is like drug addicts, heroin addicts just hanging out in the streets. It is so dilapidated. The buildings are all, you know, and it's look, when I mean, you recently went to Clitheroe. Was it strange going back home? Because I'm sure you don't really go there often, but I remember you went there since we've been doing the show because you did the show while staring at some sheep. I remember.
Right. Yeah. No. I went back. It was kind of a while ago now. I haven't been back since March last year. So yeah, I'm looking forward to going back soon. In fact, I'm going to London at the weekend. Saturday, I'm doing the UFC and then flying out to England to do a movie. So that's fun.
That's right.
So I'm always happy to go back to England. Yeah, when I went back to Clitheroe, it's weird. I mean, listen, it'll always have a special place in my heart, you know, but and it's always so nice to be there. And I remember driving in there, but thinking, because in my mind, I'm like, oh, Clitheroe's a lovely little town, you know, but it's looking a little tired when you're driving in. It's gone downhill a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Looking a little tired. And then when I got there, it was so nice to be there. But then after like 3 or 4 days, I was like bored out of my mind. Yeah. Sick of it. There's nothing to do.
Has Clear the Road gone down or have you gone up? Because that's what I thought as well. I was like, shit, where, because I drove to where I grew up, which is not Patterson. I moved to Rockland County, New York, and West Havasstra. It's still very poor, but not as bad as Patterson. But I drove there recently and I was just driving to like my old spots that I used to live in, like these, you know, 2-3 family houses. And I went to like 3 or 4 of them because I used to move around a lot. And it was way worse than I remembered, like way shittier than I remember, just really dirty and run down. And I was starting to go like, did it get worse or have I, my standard of living has just raised to the point where I would no longer accept that? Because I looked at the porch that I used to hang out underneath, like my aunt's porch. I would like hang out in dirt and glass and nails when I was like 6. And I would never let my child do that.
Yeah, well, without sounding like an asshole, I guess I've definitely come up a bit. That would be a lie if I said no, but I think it has gone downhill a little bit. Only because, you know, anytime places grow, they get more problems. Clitheroe was a really small town and it's getting bigger and bigger all the time. All my friends on Facebook are always bitching about the traffic every day. You know, bigger population, more litter, all that type of shit. So it has gone downhill a little bit. But it's funny you mentioned, whenever I'm back, I always go to the 2 houses that I used to live in when I lived there. I always make it a point of just driving past. Just to reminisce, because when I see it, it brings back so many emotions. Typically, there will be stories of my dad beating the fuck out of me. Do you know what I mean? Kicking me down the street or whatever. And I probably deserved it as well, to be fair. But the documentary that I've got coming out sometime next year, I remember the house that I grew up in has really gone downhill. It was a lovely little place where when I grew up, you know, it was a nice, I don't know how old it was, but probably relatively new. When we went back for the documentary, obviously we haven't lived there in almost 20 years. The fucking thing was falling apart, right? That all the doors were off, the windows were cracked. It looked like just a pile of shit had been thrown all over the house. And I said to the director, I'm like, oh shit, it looks like crap. He's like, no, this is perfect. This is exactly what we want. We don't want to see your childhood home as like some nice, you know, respectable living family home. No, we want to see it looking like shit. I said, well, we did have a pretty respectable family. I said, yeah, no, but whatever. This looks good. That's what they want. Shit sells.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, look, it's a better story. And honestly, you probably are giving your parents more credit and your childhood more credit than it really needs.
I definitely probably am.
Yeah, you came up a lot compared to where you were at. You know, not to kiss your ass again, but I mean, just listening to your book, just sort of that transition. It's people really should go pick it up because I listen to it while I drive, and I just think it's fucking wild when you came into the UFC that there wasn't a mixed martial arts scene in England. Like it wasn't even a thing. It wasn't term.
There was a mixed martial arts scene for sure, but it was fucking small.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And on the wider scene. And, you know, throughout the country, people didn't know what it was. If you said mixed martial arts, I think I've told this story many times, but I remember I went to join the local gym. And at the time I was training professionally as a mixed martial artist, you know, so I walked in and to sign up to the gym, you had to put down your occupation. So I put mixed martial arts and they said, what's that? I said, you know, mixed martial arts. They went, no. I said, I'm a professional athlete then. They said, well, what kind of athlete are you? Well, it's a fucking gym membership. Leave me alone. What's with the fucking third degree? But anyway, so I said, oh, I had to break it down to the lowest common denominator and then say, I'm a cage fighter. And then they look at you like you're a psycho. Do you know what I mean? And I've never used the term cage fighter in my life other than that one because they just didn't understand. But the perception back in those days, if you were a cage fighter, was that you were some kind of psycho that needed locking up, you know? And to see where it's gone from today from back then to now, it's pretty mind blowing, to be honest.
Well, the term or the acronym NHB, no holds barred, was synonymous with MMA for years. It was like MMA, NHB. That would be like when you go to a Virgin Megastore, right? They would sell like DVDs and CDs. You remember back in the day? Like a Tower Records. But Virgin Megastore had a section for mixed martial arts. Me and Dave Smith from Legion of Saints, we used to steal the DVDs, or I would take the stickers for like cheap DVDs and put them on the Pride or the UFC DVDs because they were fucking expensive as shit. And we would, you know, get them for cheap. But I remember the section was marked MMA/NHB.
Really?
Yeah.
No, but that's good that they even had a section for it as opposed to just like blend it in with some sports documentaries or whatever. I mean, that shows how far ahead of the game, well, compared to the UK, the US was. But yeah, we kind of did the same thing. Blockbuster Video. I remember seeing UFC DVDs, well, videos and VHS tapes in there. VHS, fuck me. That's a throwback. Remember like winding them up? Like mm-hmm. the tracking went off. You had to pull the tape out and then tighten it up and stuff. Man, that's a throwback.
Be Kind, Rewind. Yeah, you actually said that in your book as well, that Rebecca had bought you Ultimate Submissions.
So I think it was Christmas 2002. I was embarking on this mission to be a professional mixed martial artist. And to be honest, I didn't even really know what that was. You know, I mean, yes, I guess YouTube was around back then, but I didn't really research it.
Was it?
So Rebecca got me... I don't know.
I don't think YouTube was out in 2002. MySpace was out for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember she got me Ultimate Knockouts, I think it was. Ultimate Knockouts or Ultimate Submissions. I remember my sister used to have this restaurant, my sister Maxine. The restaurant was called Maxine's. And we did like a little, kind of like a little, you know, dance night in a restaurant. You know, I brought the decks, everyone came over, you know. And then we all went back to my house for a party afterwards. And then all the weak-minded people disappeared and went home and all the hardcores stayed. And it was like the early hours of the morning and we're all kind of getting bored. And I stick on this this video of Ultimate Knockouts or whatever. And people were like, what are you doing? You're going to fucking do that? And I was like, I don't know. It looks like it. I wish I'd have done some more fucking research because I didn't know it was quite like this.
It's kind of weird though, because like what you technically were doing like in an earlier stages was probably more dangerous because it wasn't as organized, you know? But I guess the level of athlete wasn't as high, but yeah, I mean, those same DVDs was what like I became a real fan off of, because back in the day, you know, I'm trying to think when me and Dave Smith were roommates, right? This is before I started doing comedy. This is probably 2002, right around that time, right around this exact time. This is right before I started doing comedy. I've been doing comedy for about 15 years now. Okay. And we were roommates. We were selling comedy club tickets on the street in Times Square. The job that I answered when I was 19 years old was, it was a commission-based job, and you would sell 4 tickets for $20 to go to the New York Comedy Club.
All right, hold on. Sorry to interrupt. So I'm walking down through Times Square.
Yeah.
You see me, you think, oh God, look at this guy. I mean, fucking handsome fella for one, but he looks like he has a great sense of humor and I might be able to sell him a comedy ticket.
So first of all, this is what I would do.
How do you approach me? I'm walking down.
Well, first of all, the goal number one is get you to stop. But excuse me, sir, are you from here?
No, sorry. I'm late for a meeting.
Then I let you go on. Game of numbers. It's a no. It's another one out of the way. I'm not going to chase this guy down. Well, here's the thing. I would look at you. I don't know if I would even approach you because you look like a mean son of a bitch.
Too intimidatingly good looking.
Not that. You look poor. And
I was going to say, successful, and I'm on a mission, and I've got a very high-powered meeting to get to.
You know, it's funny. I approached and sold tickets to George St. Pierre around that time. And I didn't recognize him. Me and Dave Smith were massive MMA fans, and I started talking to him, and I was like, oh, what do you do? Because you in sales, you engage them. You find out where – it sounds like you're chit-chatting, but what you're doing is you're trying to figure out how long they're here for, how much money they have, how many people are with them. You're gaining information. This is sales 101. You're starting to engage the customer. You're asking them questions. And I asked him what he did, and he said he's a UFC fighter. And I remember being like – thinking
yeah,
I was
sure.
cool.
Okay, buddy. Right.
I was like, oh, you fight MMA. And he goes, no, UFC. And I was like, UFC. And then Dave was there and Dave's like, dude, that's George St. Pierre. And I was like, oh shit. And we got a picture. It was on MySpace. Funny enough, you can go find my old MySpace. You see a picture of me and Dave Smith and George St. Pierre. But we sold him tickets with him and his buddy, guy from in town from Montreal. Before this is 7-8 years before it was even a thought of MMA being legal in New York City.
Wow.
But yeah, we became friends during that time. And one of the things that bonded us, we used to smoke blunts, get 40s or 24 ounce Heinekens. And we used to just watch UFC and we were obsessed. And there was only a pay-per-view on maybe once every 2 months at the most. Mm-hmm. You'd get DVDs, you'd try to find anything. And that like obsession, like, dude, we were just like late night on the blogs, on Sherdog, on the message boards.
Hold on. Stop. Is this damage control, Lewis? On the last episode, you're like, I said, oh, obviously, yeah, I don't watch the whole undercard and this and that. And you said, yeah, I'm not a fucking nerd. Now you're coming in and you're saying, oh, hold on a minute. I was on the Sherdog forums. I was on the blogs. I was on the underground. I was collecting tapes. I was studying it. I was basing my life on these principles, which I was absorbing through the VHS system.
Before it was cool. Now everyone and their mother thinks it's fucking cool. So now it's like, okay. And you know, now it's a passing, you know, it's a little passing thing in my life, even though I do a fucking
popular. You were a trendsetter.
Do you remember when, all right, this is going to be a hardcore thing. And if anybody remembers this, I will I'll send them some Sannibal gloves for me personally. I'll buy them.
Well, hold on. And I'm going to reach out to Sannibal, by the way. And I've come up with a system because everybody listening to this that wanted Sannibal gloves, I don't know if it was Brian or Harrington, but they never kept track of the emails. So here's what we do. Anybody
I have all the emails.
Boom. All right. Well, we're going to get the fucking Sannibal gloves out to them.
Every email and name and video saved on my hard drive.
All right. Get the addresses off them so we can send them out.
I got to get that from everybody.
Okay. Okay. So if you're owed a pair of Sannibal gloves, send in your address. Lewis, you were saying, pardon me.
So when Travis Luter won the Ultimate Fighter, he was back then there was like probably two seasons where the UFC was like, fuck, we're just gonna give the Ultimate Fighter a title shot, which was psychotic. It was just a crazy thing to do. And they did it with Travis Luter. It was the comeback season.
Yeah, I was going to say that was the comeback season with like tried and tested tough guys that had been in the UFC and, you know, they'd found their way out of it because they'd lost a few fights. So not totally crazy, but I hear what you're saying. Continue.
And Sarah did win the title off of that, winning the Ultimate Fighter.
He did knock out George St-Pierre. Thanks for bringing that up again. Thank you. Continue. What is this? Imagine. What is this nugget of hardcore MMA info that you feel nobody can decipher?
So,
Test me.
I believe it was on MMAweekly.com. They had a poll. They said, who's going to win Anderson Silva or Travis Luter? And it was like 93% Anderson Silva, 7% Travis Luter. Everyone knew Travis Luter was going to get murdered by Anderson Silva. And then me and a few people on Sherdog late at night, like late at night, we were like, dude, we realized that you could just keep on voting and change the percentage. And me and like six people from a Sherdog forum changed the percentage in favor of Travis Luter. And people were losing their minds the next day. They were like, well, people are idiots over at MMA Mania. But it was actually just a silly little prank from me and a couple guys from the Sherdog forum.
Well, that's amazing. And I'm really, really glad you shared that story with me. But what was the hardcore piece of information that other people might not know?
I'm just saying, if you remember that from MMA Mania before the end.
Stop. I apologize, everybody. There's 3 minutes of the podcast that you're never going to get back. Okay. All right. Hey, guess what? One time Lewis fucking posted on fucking Sherdog. That's not hardcore. That's fucking stupid. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh, dear me. I thought you were going to test me with some bloody hardcore knowledge info. I thought, oh, Lewis has a little quiz for us, but no.
All right, Mike. You know what? We should take a quick second and thank one of our brand new sponsors on the show, Hawthorne Personal Care Products. You've mentioned it. Before we even started today's show, you said, Lewis, what is going on with your skin? You're glowing. And I said, Michael, we have Harrington and Brian here. Don't hit on me in front of the help. But I will tell you right now, my secret has to be Hawthorne Personal Skincare and Hair Products.
Well, listen, I've been saying it to you a lot recently, Matt Lewis. I mean, I'm not sure if it's all the Hawthorne products or maybe the working out, the better lifestyle, but either way, you are glowing. Listen, here's the thing. In the year 2020, men want to take care of themselves, right? We are all aging. We're getting older. You know what I mean? And you want to slow down the aging process. You want to have healthy skin. You don't want to minimize those crow's feet. I mean, I've got big wrinkles in my forehead, but I don't want to get any more wrinkles. So every day I use the Hawthorne. I use it in the morning before I go to bed, a little cream around the eyes. I use the face wash before bed as well, Lewis, and they have hair gel. They have a variety of products, but they will customize it, Lewis, to whatever you need based on your lifestyle. I would love to see what they come up with for you.
Well, here's the thing. When you go to the website, they give you a quiz and they ask you a bunch of different questions. Things like, what's your favorite drink? Do you smoke? What do you like to do on the weekends? All of these different questions they ask you. And then they give you a customized personal care system for yourself based off of your specific needs. I have no idea the difference between face creams and facial moisturizers and eye cream and exfoliants and blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to go and do the research that it takes to really understand this stuff. Hawthorne takes all of the guesswork out of it for you.
Yeah, listen, if you want your face first starter set, they got you covered. Oily skin perhaps is your problem. Guess what? They got you. Are you a sensitive skin fairy? Well, guess what? Skin face set for you. Dry skin, like those people that have dry skin and maybe it's a little too sunny and dry and they're flaking all over the place like a disgusting person. Guess what? There's a dry skin face set. Hydrating face cleanser, you say? Got you covered. Exfoliating. Dry skin. Natural face. Sensitive skin. Listen, at the end of the day, you go to the website and there's all kinds of products for whatever you need. And as Louis said, they do cater it for exactly what you need. So please do yourself a favor. If you're not moisturizing and taking care of your face, now's a good time to start, okay? You only get one body, right? You want to look after it to the max. It's careful what you put inside your body and it's careful how you treat your exterior as well. So check it out. Go to Hawthorne, Hawthorne E, and then that's .co, not .com, .co, Hawthorne.co. And then the code is BELIEVE, and that will give you 10% off. So do check it out. Go to Hawthorne.co, Hawthorne with an E on the end, .co, promo code BELIEVE. That will give you 10% off. And start to glow. Start to luxuriate. Start to get compliments wherever you go.
Yeah, even if you don't end up purchasing anything, go take the quiz and see what products are right for you. The quiz is free to take, so take it right now. And if you decide to use that promo code, you do save 10%. So yeah, go enjoy Hawthorne products. Very excited to have them be a part of the show. All right, where were we?
I'll tell you what I did at the weekend. I went to an escape room, Lewis. Have you ever done an escape room?
I have done an escape room. I've done a few of them. With my son, it's a little harder because he's young. So you got to go to the really shitty ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I still couldn't get out of it. Like, Lucas is obsessed with trying to do escape rooms or anything like that. You know, he's a good kid. He likes to use his brain and his mind and things like that. And I'm a miserable old bastard that doesn't like to get off his ass, let alone use my mind in an escape room that I could just open the exit for at any time.
Hit the emergency exit button.
Yeah, just go out. But we went down there yesterday, had a shot, and it's fun. It's good, but I won't be rushing back if I'm honest. Like, Lucas loved it. There's three other rooms that now he's obsessed with going to. And I'm like, dude, no.
Which one did you go to?
Just something by our house. I don't know what it's called. I have a Crossroads escape room or something
like that.
There's
a really big one that are in the malls. It's like five. It's got the number five in it. I forget exactly the name of the company. Five Wits. Yes, Harrington. Harrington, of course, is a fucking nerd and probably does a birthday party there every year.
Every year. I can only imagine.
And theirs are pretty cool. I'll tell you why. Because they're very technologically advanced. So you look like you're on a spaceship. Like, there's screens and there's like things. A lot of these escape rooms you go to and it's like, just so cheap and like rinky dink.
Yeah, but no, this one was pretty good. I went to the one in the Glendale Mall a while ago, and that was fucking real high tech. It was like escaping out of some like dinosaur test lab or whatever. Listen, we never did the one in Glendale. We didn't finish it, and we didn't finish this one. Okay,
so you didn't finish?
Did not finish. We had an hour, and the motivation, I'll be honest, kind of disappeared after a while. I may have been sat down on the floor at one point and just waiting for the time to pass. I hate to bring it up again, but I'm healing from a knee replacement. And there was a little stand, right? But it was a box, but it was a chest. Yeah, big wooden chest. You can sit on a wooden chest. My leg was killing. So I sit on the wooden chest, and then this woman that we have to ask for clues. Every time we wanted a fucking clue, we had to address as the great Zolan. And then we have to do a little fucking talent show for it. We have someone has to dance or juggle balls or every time we want a clue. And I was like, no, I'm 41 years old. I'm not dancing for the great Zolan. Okay. I'm sitting down on the chest. And the great Zolan, you cannot sit on the chest. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. I've just had a knee replacement. I need to sit down. And they were, sorry, you can't sit on the chest. It will break. So I sat on the floor like a miserable bastard. But the kids enjoyed it. That's the main thing.
Bisping, come on. You can't, you gave up. I could never give up. I would tell my son, I was like, we're going to starve to death here before we give up. We are doing this.
Well, you have an hour, that's it. And then the next lot are in. So regardless of how long you want to be, you know, you got an hour. And when it got to like the 40 minutes and we still had like 20 other things to beat, I'm like, we're not going to do this. And then you had to, everything was upside down, right? They were in this one room. Everything was upside down. The clues were upside down. We had to look at the floor for certain things. It was just, listen, I know my skills in life, okay? Right, cracking the code of the escape rooms is not one of them. You know, there you go.
All right, at least you know your limitations.
Yeah. Anyway, but it was fun.
If it was in a real escape room, Bisping would just start violently punching the walls.
No, I wouldn't. You sound like this guy that I went to dinner with once. I went to dinner with this guy, celebrity, big celebrity that shall remain.
Say his name. Name names.
I can't say his name.
You can say it.
No, I can't. I'm not going to say his name. And when we sat down, and I was like a little apprehensive of having dinner with this guy, when we sat down, because I thought, I'm not going to have anything in common with this guy. And then he says, oh, of course, Michael, because you just solve everything with your fists, don't you? And I was like, ooh, motherfucker.
I know exactly.
Asshole.
I know exactly who it is because you've told me the story off air.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but don't mention it. No,
I will say nothing.
I was like, really? I'll fucking solve this problem in a minute with my fish, you cheeky and then you bastard.
Proved him right by turning into a meathead and being angry and never letting go.
Yeah, exactly. You've got no, you know, you're trapped in a corner. Anyway, whatever. There it is. That's what we did at the weekend. I'm terrible at escape rooms. And Lewis is, obviously, we didn't know, a hardcore aficionado of mixed martial arts that was into it before it was even cool. Wow.
Yeah, I was. Before Kudos. It was cool, Bravo. Here I was.
Bravo, bravo, bravo. Of course, lots of stuff going on in the world of mixed martial arts, which we're going to get into right now. I guess we'll start with the quite simply an amazing and inspirational performance that Glover Teixeira put on at the weekend. I mean, you watched the fight, right, Lewis?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, God damn it. Glover Teixeira is a monster. He's just a beast. They talk about the Korean zombie just keep on coming forward. Glover Teixeira should be the Brazilian zombie.
So obviously, yeah, Thiago Santos coming back from when he blew out all of his tendons in his knee when he fought John Jones mid last year or whatever. And I got to say, Santos looked fucking good. He looked incredible. He's going to be a problem for a lot of people in the division. He already is a problem. He fought for the belt, but he looked good. He looked fast, and his power was fantastic. And early Teixeira, you know, he ate a few shots, but he's just so fucking tough. It looked like the fight might have been over for Glover Teixeira early, but then he fucking rallies. He gets the takedown. There's just no quit in that man. You literally have to put Glover Teixeira to sleep for him to allow you to win the fight. And anyway, he scrambles, he gets the takedown, and then from there, very dominant display of jiu-jitsu, and that's why jiu-jitsu is such a valuable tool, because Santos spoke about, you know, since he was recovering with the knee, he was doing a lot of jiu-jitsu off his back. Dominic Cruz was talking about that in the commentary as well, but still, you could clearly see that Glover was leaps and bounds ahead in terms of Matt dominance, the jiu-jitsu, the wrestling, everything, the grappling was just so much better, and Santos never had an answer for any of it.
Well, I think that was something that Dominic Cruz pointed out. And Dominic Cruz, love him or hate him, because he does come off a little condescending. On the broadcast, off the broadcast, he just has this snarkiness to him where you're just like...
I don't know what you're talking about. He's a lovely colleague of mine. Carry on.
But he really made that point where I think Santos not being able to wrestle... probably because of the lack of strength in the knee. I guess he said that he was probably not able to wrestle for a good 6 months. It was 6 months into training before he could even wrestle because he had a strength in his knee. That was probably the biggest difference. So Glover is able to get him in those positions and sort of keep him there. And Santos wasn't really doing much to get out of those positions. He was sort of lying flat on his back.
But the thing is, people will say that. People will obviously say you're lying flat on your back. And Santos has been doing MMA for a long time. He's a high-level fighter. There's no way that he doesn't know how to escape. There's no way that he doesn't know how to get his guard back, how to escape mount, how to get back to his feet. Excuse me. Of course he knows those things. But there's two dogs in every race, right? And if somebody's level of jiu-jitsu is here compared to there, you're going to struggle. And Glover's been doing jiu-jitsu his entire life. High-level black belt. He coaches a lot of people. And that was just the difference. See, a high-level jiu-jitsu guy, and bearing in mind, I was showing Lucas this Saturday night. I'm like, Lucas, look at this. And I was trying to explain to him. I said, look, this is what jiu-jitsu, this is what you can do to another man if you have jiu-jitsu. You can control a man like this. I said, Santos is a very tough fighter, one of the hardest hitting guys in middle and light heavyweight history. He fucking hits like a truck. As we saw, round three, Teixeira got dropped, and it looked like it was going to be bad. But once he was able to get on top or just get a hold of the man, he just dominated the fight, you know, and again, round three, when he got dropped, to rally back again, when it looked like, because he took a lot of shots as well when he was on top, just to fucking rally back and just being the stud that he is, to take the back and choke him out in round three. I mean, how can you not respect Glover Teixeira? I think I tweeted that Saturday night, actually. I mean, it was a very, very inspirational performance, certainly at 41 years old.
Yeah, super gutsy. And he did make the point after the fight saying, like, Dana White, I don't got a lot of time left. You know, I know you want to give this 205-pound fight to Israel Adesanya, but I'm right here. You know, and I understand that as well. And he definitely made the case for it. I mean, or did he, right? So he fought it was a tough fight. It was a great fight, but it was back and forth. It was close. He did almost get stopped twice in that fight.
No, you can't really say that. Listen, did he get dropped? Once in the third, I think maybe
the first he got dropped.
He got dropped in the first as well. All right, yeah. So he got dropped, but whatever. He was able to turn the tide. He was able to win the fight in a very, very impressive fashion. And anytime there's adversity like that, when you get dropped, it just makes the fight so much better. Yeah. And if anything, I think that highlights even more why Glover should get the title shot. I'm not going anything against Adesanya. I'm not favoring Glover over him, nothing like that. I'm saying why he deserves to be in consideration for the belt, because he got dropped off Thiago Santos, who hits like a fucking truck and who looked better than ever, right? And then afterwards, as you said, he said, come on, man, you're going to give it to Adesanya. I'm 41 years old. And you said, did he stake his case or not? Well, it seems that Dana listened, because Dana at the post-fight press conference was asked about it. And Dana said, I agree with him. He said, I totally agree with him. And it's a weird situation. He said, because he is 41. He does deserve the title shot. He's beating these guys. I mean, remember what he did to Anthony Smith, high-level fighter, beating Santos. I mean, who else did he just beat recently? Harrington, chime in if you can. But he's been on a roll. He's had a lot of very, very impressive wins. And he's not getting any younger. And the plea that he said to Dana, listen, again, it sounds like I'm kissing his ass once again, but Dana's like, hold on a minute, because he's on the verge of having a super fight between Jan and Adesanya. But then he's like, oh, I agree with him, and I'm going to think about this. Because, you know, in the natural merit of things, I think Santos, Teixeira, right now, probably is the clear contender out of the 205-pound division.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that performance was incredible, and he beat the number one contender. So, I mean, it really makes the most sense. There's no date right now for Israel versus...
No, Jan, no date right? whatsoever right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, without a date on the books, I could see them making Teixeira versus Błachowicz.
Sorry, I was just looking at the rankings. I wasn't ignoring you there.
No, not at all. I mean, why not? I mean, to be honest with you, the Israel Adesanya fight is sitting there, right? So Israel can come in and do a 205-pound fight. If you put Jan versus Teixeira right now, I think it'll be a bigger fight if Israel fights the winner of those two when the smoke clears.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to think from it from Glover's perspective. He's 41, not getting any younger by far. You know, he's getting close, probably, I would think, to, you know, the talk of retirement, maybe another year or two. Who fucking knows? Because he looked fantastic at the weekend. But obviously, Jan is the champ. Santos just got beat. He's number one. He got beat by Glover. Number two is Dominic Reyes, and he just got knocked out again of Jan. So it really is the clear-cut contender out of the 205 crop, clearly is Glover Teixeira. But if that fight with Adesanya goes ahead, who knows? There's no date. Let's say that's in April next year. And you don't know what's going to happen in that fight. Fucking whoever wins it could be beat up, could have a lot of injuries, and that might see it till 2022. Who knows? You know, and by that point, Glover could be another 18 months older, possibly, you know? So it's a tricky one because I'm really excited to see Adesanya. I really am. But here, there's a guy who's on top of the world, on top of the MMA world right now. He's flying. And Glover Teixeira, being the workman that he is, the performances that he's given to everybody throughout the UFC, throughout his UFC career, I think he deserves it. Again, do I want to see it over an Adesanya fight? That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying Glover deserves that fucking title fight. But that's a super fight. It's a tough situation for the UFC and certainly for Glover.
I think it's better for everyone involved to give a little bit more space from John relinquishing that title, get a few more title fights at 205 pounds before we let possibly 185 pounder take that 205 pound title. I'm just saying, let the smoke clear a little bit. I really like the idea of Jan versus Teixeira. You know, and by the way, I love Izzy. I just feel like for Izzy's sake, there's more value in him taking the 205 pound title if there's a little bit more time removed from John relinquishing it.
No, I totally agree. I'm just seeing as it relates here. I was trying to look something up in the notes that Harrington put in. He says that Mike Winklejohn, John Jones is obviously a longtime coach, said that he would like the easy fight for John Jones to take place at heavyweight. Obviously, John's going up to heavyweight. He's putting weight on. Yeah, of course they want to say that. That's going to favor John. You know what I'm saying? I don't see that happening. And I think Izzy did allude to potentially fighting him at heavyweight. Harrington, chime in here, buddy. I think he did allude to that. But if I'm Izzy, you don't do that. You don't jump up from middleweight to heavyweight. You know, even if it is a light heavyweight, realistically, that's jumping up as well. Still, it's a bit of a stretch. Go on, Harrington, give us some color here because I never read the piece.
So the idea is Israel Adesanya said that he's willing to chase Jones up to heavyweight if that's what it takes, but he does believe the path for him to fight John Jones is to win the belt at 205, hold that belt, and tell Jones, hey, if you want this back, you got to come down to 205 and take it from me. So that's why he is targeting the light heavyweight belt. He says he is willing to do it at heavyweight if he needs to. That's the only way he's getting the fight, but he thinks once he gets that belt, Jones come down to 205.
I hate it.
You hate what?
I hate the idea of them fighting at heavyweight. Because you guys don't want to make 205 pounds. I don't understand it. What's the point of fighting at heavyweight if neither of you are actual heavyweights? It's like when Connor goes up and fights Nate Diaz at 170 pounds. You're like, why? Because you guys just don't want to do it at 150?
Well, it's like Dana just saying Poirier and Connor, which I believe is scrapped right now. We'll get into that later. Potentially scrapped, should I say. We'll get into that shortly. Same thing. They wanted to fight at 170, and Dana was like, no, that fight means nothing at 170. It has to take place at 155. Yeah, listen, I mean, it's the saga. We talk about it every week. John Jones and Izzy, you know. I just want to see them fight. I couldn't give a fuck what weight class it's at, to be honest. I really couldn't. But I... Izzy deserves a shot at Jan because he's just been so impressive, but Glover Teixeira deserves it as well. So it's a tricky one. And Thiago Santos, I got to say, coming back, he looks sensational. So good for him. I'm looking forward to his next fight. He just got beat by a guy that's very well-rounded, tough as fuck, has excellent grappling, and Glover Teixeira hits like a fucking train. You see that? You see the ground and pound, the heaviness of those shots, and from Santos as well. Those motherfuckers really went to war with one another.
You said this before, and we pivoted away from the conversation, but it's such an interesting point. You had mentioned to Lucas that this is what jiu-jitsu can do. And like, it's very, very funny because, you know, James is in jiu-jitsu as well. I took him on Friday night. We took him to like a sparring thing, and he was grappling with like adults, maybe the hottest chick I've ever seen in my entire life. I watched my son grapple with. I was just watching, jealous, being like, God damn it, James, get in there. Yeah. But the guy who runs the school, he's a Muay Thai guy, but he must be like a Brazilian.
Takovic? What was his name?
No, that was a different guy. That was Richie.
Anyway, whatever. Who cares? Anyway,
so, but the guy who runs the school, dude, I mean, he's like, hey, come roll with me. And he just held, like, it was wild. Like, to not be able to do anything, to have a person hold you in any position he wants. And I couldn't go anywhere. I'm much bigger. I'm much taller than the guy. I outweigh the guy. And he just held me there, and it is just so disheartening. It mentally breaks you down first, and then physically you give up because you're mentally, you're like, I don't know what else to do here. I know logically I can't get out of this. And that right, those moments right there make me go like, fuck, dude. I mean, first of all, I'm too old to ever really get good at jiu-jitsu like that, but any little kid should learn that, because I'm in awe of seeing that happen, which the guy is half my size being able to just put me in any position that he wants.
Well, with great power comes great responsibility, Lewis. You can't just be going and throwing the knowledge of a world-class jiu-jitsu black belt into the hands of anybody, Lewis. They could use this power for great mischief. You know, last week I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, and he had Luke Thomas on there, the MMA journalist, and they were talking about how law enforcement officers, police, let's call them police, should know jiu-jitsu. And I 100% believe that all police officers around the world, right? If, you know, and unfortunately, there's good apples and bad apples in every fucking group. But if police officers knew jiu-jitsu to a decent level, I'm not saying they got to be a black belt or anything like that, but let's say blue belt level, you know, part of their training, a couple of times a week, they got to do it for a couple of years, whatever, as they're coming up, it would help so much. And they would be able to restrain people. They wouldn't have to go for their guns quite as often, you know, because you got to think, police do a tough job, and we're going off on a tangent here. They do a tough job, and they're going up against hardened criminals and things. So it's very scary. So I understand often, I mean, I don't agree with it, but often they pull the gun out and shit goes south. But I think if they had the jiu-jitsu training, not only would there not be a need to go for the gun quite as often, but they would be more comfortable in these situations. I said to Lucas, I was trying to explain to him, and we might have talked about this on the last show, but I was telling him, I said, listen, you will have the comfort. If you stick with jiu-jitsu, Lucas, when you get older, right, because you're going to be about my size, right, you know, so you're going to be a big, strong guy anyway. And if you've got fucking black belt level jiu-jitsu, right, you're never going to be intimidated by another man as long as you live. For as long as you live, you're going to be able to walk into any situation. Because people ask me that sometimes. I've been asked, you know, how's it feel to go into any room and know that, you know, you can take everybody in there. Now, that isn't necessarily the case, but, you know, primarily it is, you know, unless you got another UFC champion in there as well, or a current fucking UFC champion that's really fit with two knees and two eyes. Maybe they'll fuck me up. But still, I digress. I said, that's what jiu-jitsu can give to you, Lucas. The ability to not be an asshole, but just to be comfortable and know that, well, okay, if shit hits the fan, I can handle this.
That specific thing you're talking about is that confidence is what you need. It enables you to walk away. It enables you, because I have this thing in me, right? Because I'm not a tough guy, and I never learned how to fight, and I wasn't an athlete, right? So I didn't learn how to throw a punch until I was 25 years old. So I have it like in these formative years where I'm like, you know, in elementary school and middle school, that fear when a bully comes up to you. And even if I've defended myself and I got into fights when I was younger, but I still had this fear inside of me. And I walk around with it to this day. You think back to those moments where you didn't defend yourself, where somebody picked on you and you should have, and you play it over and over again in your head, or the time you got your ass kicked on the playground in front of the girl you liked. And that thing, it sorts to, I don't want to say it defines you, but it lays down these foundational things. And I think guys that really have that confidence, guys who know jujitsu or know martial arts, what they do is they go like, I don't need to prove anything in this moment. For me, when I walk down the street, if somebody gives me a look, I have this thing where I go like, I need to prove something. I'm a man. I'm tough.
Still, because that's a very, you know, adolescent thing. You know, it is, you know, obviously you got the testosterone and all the rest of it. And you know, you got a lot of things happening inside your body. So when you're adolescent, you meet with another man, you're up and coming gorilla, another silverback stares at you across the street. And you're like, I got to take this guy out. You still think
it's
like
not that?
That
I act on it, but I definitely still do think that way. I definitely have this fear. If I see a person walking down the street, I side look him. If he looks at me, like, there's this tension. And I think people that know martial arts on a high level that really understand how to defend themselves, they don't think twice about that guy. They're going like, all right, it's not even a thought that registers in their mind, because they go like, if anything happened, I could just dominate this guy with, like, in my mind, I'm sort of driven by this fear. I think, and this is as it relates, I feel bad for women, because I think women walk around naturally like that, just for the most part, much more so than the average guy. They walk down the street and go like, fuck, dude, these people out here could hurt me. This guy could hurt me. So I have to step back sometimes and realize like, shit, dude, it is a different world that women have to live in every day.
There because you're absolutely right in terms of physical violence or intimidation or whatever. When it comes to a woman, they obviously, for the most part, they can get overpowered by the majority of men. Just as it kind of relates, last night my episode of Warrior was on Friday night, this TV show that I filmed last year. And so Rebecca and Ellie, right before we went to bed, we were watching it in my bedroom. They wouldn't watch the whole episode. I just had to fast forward it to my scenes, fucking motherfuckers. I'm like, come on, how often is your husband and dad in the show? But anyway, then we got talking about some stuff. I don't know how we got onto it. And I was talking about a time when I was in London a long time ago, and this guy, and I've told the story, so I won't dwell on it. A guy was hitting on me. Right. And I told the whole story to Ellie, and Ellie was laughing her head off. And I was talking about the time, you know, this guy, and he followed me to the elevator, and he was walking down my room. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I thought I'd come in for a drink. I'm like, no drinks. And I said, now I kind of felt what it must be like to be a woman that's always getting hit on, because I was a guy in another guy's company for about an hour and a half that I couldn't get away from, that I was working with. Do you know what I mean? And I felt like, I was like, oh, I said, women must have that all the time.
And you don't want to come off as homophobic or hateful.
No, you don't want to say anything. It's a tricky ground. You can't say, whoa, what are you doing, bro? I'm not gay. And they'll be like, what are you talking about? Neither am I. I was paying you a compliment. I'm like, you kept touching my thigh, buddy. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, but you see what I'm saying there. So it's.
But and then now imagine you could not physically defend yourself. Now imagine the guy's following you to your hotel room.
That's why I said it exactly. Imagine being in that scenario and the guy's a bit pushy and you can't defend yourself. That's why jiu-jitsu is so important for women as well. Sounds like we're doing a paid advertisement for the local jiu-jitsu school near
you. But it's true, dude. I rolled today, and it's such a fucking, it's also so hard. I wish I would have done this as a kid. I fucking rue the day my parents stopped giving shit about being good parents, because if I would have done it as a kid, I would have all of this built in me already. And it really is just, it's an incredible thing. And whatever, we won't dwell anymore on it.
No, exactly.
Recommend get your fucking kids into jiu-jitsu, because it makes a world of difference. All right, Mike, real quick, we must thank one of our incredible sponsors, which is the Omigo Bidet. Omigo Bidet Systems makes it easy. Every time I've thought about a bidet growing up, I was like, okay, what, are we going to go to Europe? I have to figure out some sort of specialty plumber from another country that understands this whole other language of bidets. Super easy. I paid Harrington $20 an hour for everything. I paid him a total of $7 to install my Omigo bidet, because it took less than 20 minutes.
Here's the thing. When you hear, oh, I'm going to transform my toilet into a bidet, you think, oh, that sounds like a job for a plumber. But no, it really isn't. Harrington did it, and even I did it, to multiple different toilets. Listen, here's the thing. You unscrew your toilet seat at the back, two little things. Then you turn a knob, you take this pipe out, and you put it into the pipe on the bidet, screw two things up, boom, there you go. You've
Very transformed. Pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You're fucked. No, you've gone from having a very pedestrian, boring toilet seat where you got to wipe your own ass. I mean, how barbaric is that in the year 2020? To having a luxuriating potentially futuristic robotic Japanese like ass wiping system, depending on the level that you go at. Remember, entry level, very, very cheap, $39, $29, something like that.
You don't need the expensive one, by the way. I have the shittier one downstairs. It's awesome.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, essentially, it does the same thing as the expensive one. It still does the same thing, but it doesn't have the bells and whistles. Now, if you've got a, you know, you're doing well in life and you really, really want to luxuriate, you want to walk in, it goes bing, it senses you. You sit down, it's got a warm seat, it's got a light, a blue light, it dries your ass. You can go forward, you can go back, you can go left, you can go right. And a lot of people, by the way, in the comments saying, oh, I guarantee Bisping doesn't have these. I was going to do a video, but I'm a little short of time today. Next time, I'll do a fucking video and you can see the grand toilet, the grand bidet.
Do it on your Instagram. On your way out, do it on your Instagram today. You definitely have them. And here's what I've realized, that if you, the higher end one, we should call the Bisping, the lower end one, we can call the Gomez. So look, maybe you're on the Gomez level. Maybe you got a 1/5 mansion. Maybe you got a half mansion like Bisping. It depends on where you're at. They have it for every single budget. Super easy. It's a DIY job. It's so much fun. Honestly, you feel accomplished when you're done doing it as well. Here's the coolest part of all of it, Bisping. Okay. Obviously, this is a great product. We don't even need to give you a discount, but we're going to give you a discount. Oof. All you got to do is go to myomigo.com. That's myomigo.com/BYM. You're going to take 15% off your entire order. Once again, that's myomigo.com/BYM. Take 15% off your entire order. Okay, where were we?
Yeah, we got a lot of different things to talk about here, and this is one of them. In fact, I was going to talk about the co-main event real fast. We won't spend too much time on it. In fact, yeah, we will. Excuse me. Hold on. Runny nose. Driving me crazy. My apologies. Andrei Arlovski taking on Tanner Bowser at the weekend. I'm just trying to find where it is because I tweeted out some very kind things about that fight. Oh, yeah, here it is. Yeah, and then a lot of people talk shit. First of all, Andrei Arlovski, here's a man that made his UFC debut at UFC 24. UFC 24, and here he is all this time later, still, and I think that was 1999 or 2000, something like that. Harrington, just look up when he made his, what year it was when Arlovski made his UFC debut. And here he is, still fighting. And it's a new version of Andrei Arlovski that we're seeing these days. There was a time, there was a period where he started getting knocked out. Maybe you saw the issues. I don't know, because he used to fucking look like that.
Is he the oldest contracted UFC fighter, like not in age, but in terms of how long he's been on the roster?
In terms of roster, he has to be. He absolutely has to be.
He's 46 now.
But wow. Say again?
He's 46 now. He's away. Wow, he's old.
46, yeah, he's old. He's been knocked out a lot. He's had a tremendous amount of damage. But and this is why, well, I tweeted Saturday night. I said, Arlovski's one of the few guys that I still get starstruck around. And a lot of people had some fun with that. But it's true, because I remember, obviously, when I first got into the UFC, started watching a lot of the sport, and Arlovski was one of the main guys. And then the first ever UFC event I went to was Arlovski versus Tim Sylvia 2, I believe. And then my first fight in the UK, UFC 70 in Manchester, Arlovski was the main event. Who was he fighting? Well, no, it was Krokop versus Gonzaga. Oh, no, Arlovski was underneath me, but he was on the poster. And I shared a locker room with him, right? And I was just like, fucking, that's Andrei Arlovski, man. It's the pitbull. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. So, and our paths have never crossed very often. You know what I mean? So I still see him like that and revere him like that. Once you get to know somebody and you share some conversations, being starstruck or seeing them like that kind of goes out the window, and you just see them as a peer, as a colleague, as just a friend or whatever, you know, but because I've never got to know him, I still see him as the fucking guy that I would always see fight and compete at the highest of levels when I first got interested with the sport. So it was great to see him fight Saturday night. I thought he looked sensational. A lot of people complained and said that the fight was kind of lackluster. Listen, it wasn't the a Rock'em Sock'em Robots explosive, fuck it, throw all strategy out the window and let's just swing type of fight. Arlovski, at 46 years old, with all those miles on the clock, is still evolving and still changing. I mean, he was throwing hook kicks to spinning back fists. He utilizing a lot of movement, looked very, very fast and picking his shots wisely. And Tanner Bowser was doing the same thing. There was no crowd there Saturday night. Had there been a crowd, yeah, they probably would have got restless because people don't appreciate what you see. But with two big heavyweights like that, the stakes are fucking supremely high. So you're trying to set up the shots. And I thought, even though it wasn't the highest count in terms of strikes landed, it was still a very interesting chess match of heavyweight mixed martial arts. Harrington, what did you think? Chime in, my friend. Give me your thoughts. I'm very interested to know what you thought of that fight. And don't jump on my bandwagon. Just tell me what you thought.
I mean, I like late career Andrei Arlovsky. He's still explosive as hell. He's still dangerous. He can, you know, he's learned how to conserve his gas tank at 46 years old. All I heard from him all week, George Foreman won the heavyweight title at 46 years old, doing the same thing, just keeping that jab, popping it out there, staying defensive, and then exploding and doing damage when he had to. Arlovsky did just enough to get a win here, and he thinks he can make a run. It's pretty awesome.
Well, yeah. well, he probably could make a run for it, you know, because he's supremely experienced. His gas tank is still clearly there. He's clearly still training hard, and he's still got it. And at 46 years old, I mean, fuck me. For anyone out there that thinks it's too late, I mean, all right, I'm not suggesting at 46 you try and get yourself a UFC contract and get on the contender. No, but I'm just saying it's never too late. Like Rebecca, she's just started new hobbies. She's horse riding and stuff like that. It's never too late, guys. You know what I mean? Rebecca's fucking ancient.
Yeah, she's an old lady. See, I mean, look, Arlovsky was my first favorite fighter, probably him and Chuck. Like when they were on top, that was that. Tim Sylvia, fucking really ruined. It was just a what a weird time that fucking big goofy Tim Sylvia was able to beat Andrei Arlovsky 2 out of 3 times. Arlovsky was like the epitome of athletic. He looked great. He had a modeling contract. You remember Arlovsky had that long hair? He was fucking jacked. He was dating Playboy models. Like Arlovsky was way ahead of his time before.
I never mentioned that in the locker room. It must have been a Playboy model because he had a chick with him on his side. Whoo, she was a hot. She was a good, very, very good looking girl. Well done, Andrei Arlovsky. But Tanner Bowser, keep an eye on that guy because he's very, very talented. We've got to give a quick shout out here and a quick discussion too. And Harrison chime in with the actual details. But Mark Coleman, UFC Hall of Famer, the godfather of ground and pound, won the heavyweight belt in the UFC, won the Pride Grand Prix belt, I think it was. Definitely a Pride champion and a heavyweight UFC champion. Anyway, poor guy had a heart attack, I believe, at the weekend. But being the badass that he is, drove himself to the hospital. Harrington, come in and just give us some details, please.
Yeah, I mean, he put up an Instagram post. He said he was, he was feeling pains in his chest. He didn't want to do anything about it. His daughters, like, you know, kind of talked him into it. So he said, screw it, drove himself to the hospital. I guess they hooked him up to the EKG and they're like, dude, you're having a heart attack. Like, we got to do something about this. So, but he seems to be, you know, resting up and recovering in the hospital and doing all right.
Well, good for him. He's on the mend. You know, I remember my dad had a heart attack. I think he was 40 or 41. I'm not sure, Dad. Let me know. But I was 10 years old and I was walking home and I found that my dad had a heart attack and my mom and dad were at the hospital. And I was trying to borrow 20p off somebody so I could buy a bit of chocolate from the shop. I'm like, come on, my dad's had a heart attack. And they were like, Bisping, you'll come out with fucking anything to borrow some money. I'm like, no, my dad's had a heart attack. I'm starving. There's no food in the house. Come on, lend me 20p so I can buy a chocolate bar, you bastards.
Yeah, I have chest pains weekly. Maybe I should go to the doctor. I don't know. I every time I get a chest pain, I just go, and then I keep on moving.
I went to see a specialist recently. I had a bunch of tests. I'm supposed to go back for more imaging because I for a long time, and the producers of the UFC could see when I was commentating, a lot of time I would hold my heart. And like, I just have these chest pains all the time. But then they started saying, because they did an EKG, everything seemed fine. But a couple of things, there was a couple of abnormalities that they wanted me to go back for. But it was just taking too much time. I'm like, I haven't got time for this.
I hate the doctor. I just feel like if I go there, they're going to be like, yeah, you have an issue with your heart. Now I got to do some medic. If I ignore it, I feel like I'm just, you know.
Do you know what I think? Do you know what I think the chest pains was? Because they have gone now. They have gone, right?
But you would breathe in deep, you would feel like a chest pain.
No. But just like sometimes at night, I'd be like, I feel this pain when I breathe and stuff. But I think it was when I did the bench, doing bench, I would drop the bar onto my chest a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And they kind of bounce off my chest. So I feel like it was more a skeletal issue. That's what the doctor said. He said, there's a potentially something to do with your rib cage, something like that. Maybe you need an adjustment. So what I've been doing since then is not lowering the bar onto my chest, which you shouldn't do anyway. And I think it's disappeared. So hopefully I'm not dying of a heart attack, but who knows?
Yeah. I mean, people don't die of heart attacks anymore. Come on. Who dies of a heart attack?
I don't know. You know, my dad had a quintuplet heart bypass. That's five, but it's pentagon. It's five. But anyway, whatever. I don't know how you get to quintuplet, but he had five heart bypasses. So yeah, he's a tough old son of a bitch. His old Jan Bisping.
Babe, can I get some more coffee? I love having a girl here to give me coffee.
Don't do it on air. Okay. I don't do that. What the fuck, Lewis? Come on, bro. All right, where else should we go? Let's take a look. What fun stories we got to get into here. Harrington, throw something at us, my friend. Oh, shit, we've got to talk about this. Rafael Dos Anjos, just a quick mention. His opponent this weekend, Islam Makhachev. I was commentating that fight. Spent a lot of time researching Islam Makhachev yesterday. He's out of the fight at the weekend. So as of right now, Rafael Dos Anjos has no opponent. I do know for a fact the UFC are actively seeking another opponent. I know who it is, but I can't say. Circle of Trust and all that jizz jazz. Be good to see Dos Anjos back. I was looking forward to that fight against Makhachev. Very, very tough fight. Makhachev 18-1. Tremendous wrestling accolades and jiu-jitsu and everything. That would have been a tremendous fight. But yeah, unfortunately, undisclosed injury. So he's gone. What is this about Daniel Cormier that you put in here? Harrington, Daniel Cormier says that he came to grips with retirement when he thought about fighting Jan Blachowicz for the title. Explain, Harrington.
Daniel Cormier was saying when Jan Blachowicz called him out, Jan Blachowicz was like, hey, if you're going to talk crap about, you know, my performance or, you know, whatever it was, you come fight me for this. Like, you know, Jan trying to book himself into a super fight with, you know, anybody. Daniel said he thought about it for a second. Like he really pictured himself like going in the gym and getting back to it and making a run at Jan. And he's like, no, I'm actually done. Like, this is it for me. And I know that my career is actually over because I can't picture myself doing that right now.
Yeah, good for him. Listen, I thought he was saying, Jan Blachowicz doesn't get me excited, but he was talking about actually the reality of going through a training camp and getting out of bed and going for the run. I mean, it's hard. I mean, Harrington, you're fighting this weekend. We'll get into that on Thursday show. We're going to have a lot of fun with that on Thursday show. In fact, we should get your opponent to fucking call in on Thursday show.
I would love it. Let's do
Can
it.
Can we do that?
We can. John Matthews, Rude Jude producer, he called in a Real Ass Podcast. I know his game. He's down. Let's get him to call on Thursday. And we'll do a Zoom. That'll be fun.
That will be fun. So we'll try and set that up for Thursday. But anyway, so the training camps, they're a grind. DC's been doing this since he was a little kid with wrestling, you know. I think DC, well, listen, I didn't want to retire. But, you know, once you do step away, then you realize, hold on, there is other things to do in life. You know, when you're so in on one thing, you have the shutters on, you have the blinders on, you can't see anything else. But once you step away, you think, hold on a minute, I can work and make a living doing other things. And DC obviously has a lot of things going on, a lot of things.
I don't understand how people do it for like just the love of it, right? So you hear about people getting into like jiu-jitsu and martial arts. It's like, all of my fingers, my feet, my knee, like every part of my body is always just a little banged up and hurt. I don't understand how people are doing that just because, just every single day. And I'm waiting for it to stop hurting, but every time one thing heals, the next thing starts to hurt. And you hear it like, I guess Rogan has major like neck issues. You hear guys doing jiu-jitsu for a long time. These guys aren't even competing on, like they're just doing it to do it because they love it. Is there any way to do it where you don't fucking injure yourself and, you know, walk around in pain regularly?
Yeah, it's called training smart. Train smart and make sure you stretch and work on your mobility and range of motion, all those types of things. I'll say this, Lewis. Obviously, I had the knee replacement, so my cardio got really bad. And then I'm starting hitting the bag again. And, you know, my movement was really bad and terrible. And it fucking kind of sucked. But I've been doing bag work every single day. Yesterday, I did 10 rounds on the bag. Ooh. And I used to be out of breath after doing like 2 or 3 rounds. But I tell you, baby boy, it's coming back. And the movement's back. I'm fucking back. And I last night, I said to Rebecca, I said, I'll tell you what, fuck me. All I'm going to do is find a commission that'll license me. And I might just take a cheeky one, just a little cheeky one in China or Russia or somewhere where they'll have me.
You remember the scene from Rocky 6, I believe it was, Rocky Balboa, where he tries to come back and they're like, no, we're not gonna give you a fight license. And then he gives them a whole speech about how you gotta, you know, if somebody tried to stop you from doing what you wanted to do, and then they license him anyway, which is like, that just wouldn't happen. You can't give a Braveheart speech and they're gonna give you a fucking fight license.
Yeah, they'll say, yeah, good talk, but still, you're old as fuck, and Mickey blind. Had to cut you because you were blind, you had a brain tumor, you've got all kinds of problems, okay?
He was blind and retarded 30 years ago.
You fucking never been able to talk the best. You came under this game with fucking CTE.
He doesn't talk like that. I don't know. I don't do a Rocky Balboa. That's a fact. You know, talking of injuries, this is like the injury show update. Darren Till also out of his fight, which is a fucking shame. Darren Till was supposed to take on Jack Hermanson. What are you doing there, Lewis? For the people that don't know, because Lewis is off camera, you're riveting about in pain. You look like you're playing with your penis.
Well, I have something's happening in my abdominal muscles, sort of a little muscle spasm or twitch. It's fine. What I'm doing is I'm actually just jamming my hand into my abdominal area to stop the physical pain, because this is what, I'm a fat old man. So my muscles just spasm and twitch out regularly now.
Hey, Brian, hernia. You got a fucking hernia, buddy. You've been pushing it too. I don't know, but Brian, you had
wishing it on me the other day.
No, it's not a hernia. It's just like, it's a little bit abdominal, like twitching. It's fine. I know it's not that bad.
All right. Okay. Well, listen, you know, just stop fucking squirming everywhere. Darren Till, sport to take on Jack Hermanson on December 5th, but unfortunately he is out with an undisclosed injury, which is a shame. I was chatting to Darren at the weekend via text. Wouldn't go into details or kept it quiet, but good for him. But yeah, Kevin Holland steps in. If Kevin Holland, this is a massive jump up. Kevin Holland's had 4 fights this year, 4 wins. In fact, I'll reach out, try and get him on the show. He's taking on Jack Hermanson. If he beats him, he wins 5 fights in a row in 2020, and he'll become what, ranked number 5 or something like that. So a massive, massive, go on, Harrington.
No one's ever done that before. No middleweight ever has gone 5-0 in a calendar year, and he's fighting unranked right now, but he would be fighting number 4, Jack Hermanson, so likely to take his spot with a win there, which would just be crazy.
No, and that absolutely massive, massive opportunity. Of course, we're doing a second show this week. We're going to break down Rafael Dos Anjos on whoever he takes on. All right, let's just take a quick second to talk about our very, very loyal sponsor, CBDMD. Listen, you know the deal. CBD helps with all kinds of ailments, anxiety, depression, maybe inflammation and pain. They're some of the big ones. Insomnia, of course, the CBDMD PM, CBD loaded with melatonin, gives you a great night's sleep and you don't feel groggy whatsoever when you wake up. Of course, you know, unless you've had your head under a rock, you've heard about CBD. They're everywhere. There's just so many companies. But what you need is you need quality and you want the best price. CBDMD, this is why I've been in business with them for so long. They are some of the best quality CBD on the market. It's as simple as that. And of course, they offer the best prices per milligram, which is, of course, you know, you got to watch after that bottom line. And of course, free delivery on all US orders with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And however you want to ingest your CBD, they've got the drops, they've got bath bombs, they've got the roll-ons, the freeze. I never leave home without the freeze, to be honest. After a lifetime in the cage, my back is sore these days. A lot, my shoulders, my knees, my neck, my bicep is driving me crazy. I think they're just getting too big. That's what it is. Natural growing pains, but you know what I mean. I guess I'm just blessed. But anyway, I never leave home without the CBD freeze because, you know, easy to apply. And within seconds, you start to feel the relief. So give it a try. Go to cbdmd.com and use the code BYM20 at checkout for 20% off and free shipping, as I said, and 30-day money-back guarantee. So once again, cbdmd.com. And that code at the checkout is BYM20 for 20% off your initial order. cbdmd.com, BYM20. All right, there you go. Enjoy. All right, Lewis, where were we? Where should we go from here, Lewis? What do we want to discuss? We got anything that we missed, Harrington?
Well, do we have any questions for today? Because we got a little bit of time left here. Bisping making his way out to Las Vegas to his MMA Contender Series. So you're leaving right after this. But yeah, I think we have some questions. Let me do plugs real quick while we reset for a second. Real quick, you love the show, go subscribe on our iTunes channel, leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. Love the great reviews. We read them regularly. If I want to get myself in a good mood, I go to our YouTube comment section and to our iTunes comment section, and I read the reviews and I fucking just feel great about myself. Thank you guys so much for the positive support. Also, you guys can get every episode we've ever done on demand and ad-free and uncensored at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM, get a 14-day free trial. If you guys want to join the conversation at any time, please send us fan questions, video questions, audio questions, fan art, contests, songs, whatever you send. If we like it, we will play it on the show. Bisping, I was Googling my own name the other day on YouTube, where I was typing my own name in.
As you do.
Somebody made a fight video of me and you. I guess they did create a character on the UFC game. It actually looks just like me. It's fucking
really hilarious.
Yeah. So they made that. So please keep on sending in the comments, or sending in the content rather. And yeah, that's that. So
yeah, That is that. Sorry, I just got sent a message there. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, bwaynpod@gmail.com. Send them in. Harrington, is there anything that we've missed in the notes that you want to throw at us before we get into questions? And I'll just echo what you said there, by the way, the YouTube comment section. Thanks, guys. There's a lot of positivity in there. As you know, YouTube, I don't know what it is, but there's so much negativity and hate out there. But
well, that's why I know it's page, even more overwhelmingly positive, because it's so easy. If you go to like Yelp or YouTube or whatever it is, it's just a set, you know, a cesspool of negativity most of the time across the board. And the fact that we still have overwhelmingly positive means it's even more positive than it seems. So thank you guys.
That's what I was going to say. Thank you for taking the words out of my mouth and saying them for a second time out of your mouth.
I did it with an American accent. That's
what you did, but you repeated it. I was just going to fucking get my bit in and say, hey, I appreciate you also. You're like, no, fuck this. It doesn't matter. I'm going to say it again. Harrington, looking lean and mean. How are you feeling for the fight? We're not going to get into it too much, but how are you feeling?
I feel fantastic. This is the best I've ever felt.
All right. Well, Thursday, we're going to get into it, though. We're going to break it down. So anyway, what have you got for us?
Well, hold on. Can I actually, before we even do that, Bisping, can you, because we will break it down on Thursday, but he's got a little bit of time left for this fight. Can you give him just one piece of advice for this fight? Can you give Mike Harrington, who's never been into a real contest before, he's about to step in against this absolute killer in John Matthews, is there one piece of advice that you can give him going into this final week of training before the fight?
All right. Well, first of all, don't go around thinking of him as an absolute killer. And don't allow people in your close inner circle to refer to him as an absolute killer. That's not good. What is this, just amateur, Harrington? Do you have to make weight?
No, there was no weight limit set. I mean, okay. I've still been grinding. Right. You know, I got down to the lowest weight I've been since I've been 23 years old. Just
No. You look great. You really do. You look like you've lost a lot of weight. All right. So basically, The best piece of advice I could say to you, and this is hand on heart, is you're going in, you know, obviously it's been good for you. You've lost some weight. You've been doing a lot of exercise. That's good for your inside and outside. It's good for your appearance, but internally great for you. Enjoy the process, right? The hardest thing about any time it's one-on-one, like, you know, that's why fighters that fight in mixed martial arts, anytime I hear of them having a wrestling background or a traditional martial art background where they've stepped out onto a mat in front of a crowd and competed, there's a lot of anxiety that goes with that. Just realize how nothing bad's going to happen. Nothing bad. You're going to go out there, have some fun. Your life doesn't depend on this. You haven't built a career on this. You don't need to win this fight to fucking pay your mortgage or your rent at the weekend. So therefore, when you think of it like that, that removes a lot of the pressure though. So just take it for what it is. You're going out there and you're trying to have some fun. Try and remove any kind of seriousness that makes you nervous about it. Once you do that and you enjoy yourself, you'll have a better time and you'll have a better performance. But go on.
Devil's avocado. If he loses the fight, he has to take a bus home from Arizona.
Well, that would suck.
During a pandemic.
Is that true?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
What is the fucking deal with you guys in America and the buses? Because nobody in Southern California, unless you're homeless or like, you know, about to be homeless, it appears, I could be wrong, but I know for a fact. Yeah, I'll say it for a fact. Nobody uses the buses. In the UK, the buses are an integral part of public transport. Why don't people use buses out here?
I don't know. There's something about it. It seems a little low rent. I've used some buses in my day. If you're taking a bus from Arizona to New York, it's going to be 2.5 days.
I'm just going to tell you right now, Harrington, forfeit that. Just tell them to go fuck themselves. Do not do it under no circumstances. Win or lose. I know, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to say, oh, he's not a man of his word. I say, fuck off. I wasn't going to sit on the bus for 2 days. So what?
No, Mike, that is, my integrity is literally all I have. So
right, well,
yeah,
I respect
it does mean something to me.
Well, right, I respect it.
We can't beat him up again.
Have fun on that bus, dickhead. Okay, I told you. I'll give you a one-way ticket. I'll buy it for you. Just to fucking...
Yeah?
Ooh! All right? If you lose, I'll buy you a one-way ticket, a one-way airfare. See how much your fucking integrity is worth then, dickhead. Really? All you got to do is get yourself to the airport, buddy. That's all you got to do. And you have a flight right there waiting for you.
I mean, I could take the bus to the airport. Does that count?
It's true.
Yeah, it doesn't. Go on. What have you got for us, Harrington? Anything else we missed?
So the only thing I thought that would be interesting to hear you guys talk about, the new replay rule, because the rest of the fights this year are going to be taking place in Las Vegas. So it is going to come into effect. And Mike, you probably know more about this than anybody. So could you explain it, please?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I actually worked the first fight a couple of weeks ago in Vegas where they utilized it. Instant replay has been a thing that's been a kind of a point of controversy or contention for quite some time, right? As we know, referees make mistakes here and there, right? The refereeing is a very tough job. They've got to watch everything in real time and they make calls based upon what they see. Sometimes they don't have the right angle. Sometimes they just make mistakes. Human beings, right? We're not computers. Sometimes they get things wrong. But in this modern era where we have videos and a million cameras on the UFC catching every angle, it also seems nonsensical that we don't use instant replay. And they just brought in this new rule in Nevada, and hopefully it gets spread out or rolled out across the entire country and all states and all athletic commissions, where they now have a RO, a review official, which is another referee sitting down at a desk, right? And he's watching everything through a bunch of monitors. So the referee's got a second set of eyes. And if he misses anything, or if he makes a wrong call, let's say there is an eye poke. So the DC versus Stipe Miocic thing was one that the official was using as a demonstration for us. Mm-hmm. DC got poked in the eye of Stipe Miocic, which let's not get into that whole debacle, but he got poked in the eye and the referee never stopped it. Right at that point, the review official could have stopped it and said, referee, come and look at this. Now, the referee's decision is final. The review official, if I'm getting this correct, cannot overturn the referee's decision, but he can call the referee to the monitor. They call timeout on the clock, obviously. The referee comes over and they have a private discussion. And then based upon the advice that the review official gives, the referee can then make an educated choice after seeing it a second time and potentially from a better angle.
So they can pause the action, stop it, reset it. Similarly to an eye poke or a groin shot, they say, both of you guys take your corners. We're reviewing this. Stop the action.
Sometimes if there's a fence grab, which maybe the referee misses, which prevents a takedown, you know, anything that causes.
Are they going to call it into effect that often? Because this happens a lot. And here's the thing. The fence grab is one of these like gray area things where somebody gets away with it. It does change the trajectory of a fight sometimes. We've seen it completely change the course of the fight a few times. But I don't know that anybody's ever, after that happens, anybody's ever been like, he grabbed the fence, dude. This is unfair. He should have lost that fight. It's almost like if you can grab the fence, grab that fence. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you get away with it.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying. Listen, have I ever grabbed the fence? Yes, I have. But did I ever grab it on purpose and think to myself? Because this is the thing. When you do a fence grab, it's just instinct.
Yeah.
It's fucking instinct. You know what I mean? You don't compute. It's not rational decision making. You don't think, oh, I'm about to lose my footing and go to the ground. I'll grab the fence. It's just human nature. You're trying to not get your ass kicked. Maybe you've been elbowed in the face, your face is pounding with blood, you've managed to get back up and you're about to go back down. The fight or flight instinct within your human brain says, I don't want to go down there and get mashed up again. Fuck that, grab the fence.
Yeah, and even if you were conscious, I would rather get a warning from the referee than lose that position.
maybe, but that's why the review official is there, because if you miss it, he'll stop it, they'll show it.
Are they going to stop it every time, do you think?
Oh, no, they will. They will. Now, the fight.
So every time there's a fence grab, you think the review official is going to be like, stop.
If it prevents a takedown and the referee doesn't call it, you know, listen, the referees are good. You know, people like to talk shit about the referees. Referees, for the most part, get it right. It's a very tough job. Two high-skilled guys and they've got one set of eyes. Basically, there's going to be another set of eyes. There was a boxing fight on a heavyweight, I think it was heavyweight boxing match, in Vegas a few weeks ago as well, about a month ago now. This was the first time it was used. I forget who it was. My apologies. But one guy knocked the other guy down. Right. And the referee never scored it as a knockdown. The referee said it was a slip. Right. And the review official in between the rounds, when they spoke to the referee watched it back again. And when round two started, the commentators informed the audience at home, by the way, from that round, that has been scored as a knockdown because the review official has conferred with the referee and they've decided it was a knockdown and the referee made a mistake.
So that's in boxing.
Yeah, but same thing. It crosses over to the UFC.
I didn't even realize that. So this review official rule is across the board with both boxing and mixed martial arts.
Combat sports in general, yeah. Wow. Well, you know, any that warrant the commission to be involved with. So yeah, I think it's a really, really good thing. It's fantastic. The fact that we don't do it is kind of silly, but there's so much bureaucracy and legal paperwork and rules and restrictions and things like that. Anytime the commissions get involved, the bureaucracy goes through the roof, you know? So nothing's as simple as just bringing something in, but they've obviously had a vote. They've decided to bring it in. And I think it's fantastic. I think it's going to really help mixed martial arts going forward. Mm-hmm.
why wouldn't we incorporate any rules that make it more fair, safe, give the referees more data, more information that doesn't impede the action of the sport and how exciting the sport is? It's only good. I think the sport's evolved so much. You watch it happen, like fighter and fighter, each generation of fighter, you think that the rules would have to keep up with it to a certain degree. And I think that's a really, really good rule. We watch it happen in other sports as well. So
as simple as this, two minds are better than one. Simple as that. Two minds are better than one. And certainly in an MMA fight or a boxing fight, whatever it is, more so in an MMA fight, because there's so much going on with the takedowns, with the fence grabs, with eye pokes, with fucking who knows what, grabbing shorts and all this type of thing. There's a lot more ways to cheat, and there's a lot more ways for the referee's vision to be obscured. You know, yeah. If you guys are on the feet exchanging punches, you can, for the most part, see that. But if you're on the ground and you're exchanging jiu-jitsu moves and you're doing something sneaky, you know, with the review official there to see it, as I say, two minds are better than one, and it's only going to benefit the sport in a huge way. Yeah. So I'm happy to see that. All right, listen, 2 o'clock. I have got to drive out to Vegas real soon. Brian, I believe we do have a couple of questions that we can answer and hopefully end this show on a high with a little bit of comedy, hopefully. I don't know.
Maybe.
So we got this one from Daniel Larson. He is from Sweden.
All right. Okay. This guy looks unique.
Hello, guys.
What if he just killed the cat?
Two questions. One for Michael and one for Lewis. I'm petting my cat. Greeting from Sweden. And watching the latest episode of There's Lewis. Okay. Questions done. Michael. How is your conscience clear after you murder all those cows when you lived in Klitterhof? How can you live with yourself?
Okay.
I'm just wondering. How? And Lewis, I wondered this a long time. How disgusting was it to have what I understand several three-ways with Big J? It must have been...
I'm with you.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Please.
These are good questions. I felt the same way about having a threesome with Big J that Bisping felt about killing cows.
Hey, listen. First of all, I'm not going to have some guy that has a fucking tea cozy on his head judge me. Okay, you probably don't know what that is because you guys don't use kettles out here. It's crazy. Do you know what a kettle is?
A tea kettle. Yeah. You put tea it on kettle. The stove.
When I first moved out here, I was boiled like, water the in it. People didn't know what they were talking about. And then I lived at this house with this buddy of mine, and he was a very successful man, full mansion of a house. And he had this guy that lived with him who was in his own right, a very successful man as well. And when I moved in, he told me about the kettle like it was something I'd never seen before. He said, Mike, you don't understand, man. You fill it with water and then you push the button. And in like 30 seconds, man, that water is boiling. I'm like, yeah, it's called a fucking kettle. Every working class house in England has one. Okay. That's how we make our cups of tea. What are you talking about? And he's got a tea cozy on his head. That's not a bubble hat. You can see the thing, the sprout for the neck of the tea kettle. There you go. Anyway. All right. How do I feel about killing all those cows?
Do you play it over again in your head sometimes?
Listen. Yeah. I don't play it over and over again in my head sometimes, but I have pondered on this on occasion, how I reconcile with the fact that I didn't slaughter them because it was a slaughterhouse and that was my job. Because, like, I don't eat pork. I generally don't eat pork. And I try and avoid No, listen, I don't.
Well,
I don't
eat... Scumbag. It's fine. It's okay.
I
don't smoke weed.
Listen, no, it's not like that. That's like if you fucking every blue moon, you. I don't eat a lot of pork. I don't. I do have a little bit here and there, but generally I try and avoid it.
I've never seen him turn down bacon a single time in my. I've been with Bisping probably a dozen times. Anytime bacon or pork has been offered, you should see the look on his face.
I don't eat a lot of bacon or pork. I just don't. And anyway, I've really minimized my beef intake because I do feel sorry for the cows, and I see them now and they are very cute and this and that. And so, but yeah. And then I think, well, I did used to kill them, but here's the situation. 1995, 16 years old, no job. You know, what am I meant to do? You got to live. No skills, no qualifications, not much work.
Those cows are getting killed no matter what.
Well, they were going to die. They were going to fucking die. And I needed a job, you know, and it is what it is. Survival is of the fittest. Some may call it as you get older and you get some more luxuries. You know what I mean? And you don't have to kill cows for a living. Then okay, you step away. But if there's nothing else to do at the time and you need a way to fund your life, you need to eat, you need to drink, you need shelter and accommodation, then fuck it. You know, it is what it is. I'm very sorry, but I'm not sorry. So there you
go. And my question, what was it like having threesomes with Big J? It wasn't bad for me. I feel bad for those girls. Those girls that had to be double teamed by me and Big J, by two-thirds of the Legion of Skanks.
What am I missing here? I've seen footage of you and Big J making out. Like, you think it's hilarious. You need to take that down. It's not hilarious. I'm not homophobic at all. But
what's wrong? What's wrong with it, Bisping? You fucking closed-minded asshole.
No. You're mocking the fucking sanctity of homosexual relationships. You think it's funny? Because you're not. You're not gay.
That's true, actually.
Are you gay?
We're genuinely mocking homosexuality.
Like, look at us. We're so funny. We're going to pretend to be gay. Childish. Shame on you. If I had the shame bell, I would shame you big time.
But yeah, me and Jay in our earlier years, yeah, we've had a couple double team situations.
Nice. Can you elaborate? I'm not going to ask. I mean, we're on a podcast. We're going to talk, but like, okay, I get it.
You can't even say this because you have a
I can't say, but I've never double teamed a guy. You've never double teamed a girl with another guy. No, I don't. I don't like to see other penises. I'm sorry. Call me old school. Call me old fashioned.
I don't like to see the other penises.
But if you've got to, then no problem. And listen, it is what it is.
Oh man, look, we're creeps. I've had a lot of creepy years of my life. Okay.
Why did I say to play that question? Because I feel like we've had a pretty decent show. We weren't too.
It was a pretty highbrow show.
It was, I wouldn't say highbrow, but it was not like crass or controversial in any way. But we ended it on Lewis double teaming chicks with Big J.
I've had a few threesomes with men and women. And yeah, I've had experience in my life, Bisping. Maybe you should be a little more open minded.
Maybe. Brian, you were going to chime in with something there. What say you?
Oh, I just thought we were ramping to the next question. Sorry.
Well, go ahead. Let's do it. Let's have the next question on.
All right. Speaking of more highbrow, we have Harris Long.
Ooh. What's up, Believe You Me podcast? Don't worry about the hair. I just woke up. Go fuck yourself. Two questions for Bisbing. One, can we get an update on Callum? What's going on with MMA career? Two, you always say you don't hate anybody, but there's a couple of people from back home. Can we get some insight? You know, let us know what's going on there, who those people are and what they did. Luis J. Gomez, I fucking hated you to start with.
Hell yeah.
And yeah. You're kind of growing on me now. Just quit the fucking fake laughing. And Harrington
goes, oh,
what? What did you say?
Quit the fucking fake laugh.
Fake laugh? I've never fake laughed in my life.
I've seen that. I've seen that a few times on the comments, to be honest, and I never understood it because I'm like, why would anyone need to fake laugh around me? I mean, I'm
Bisping's hilarious. Yeah, yeah, listen to me. I'm sorry that I enjoy the company of my friends and I laugh at their jokes. And to be honest with you, like, yeah, I should be in a good mood. If I do this show, I should be coming in to have a fun time and having a laugh. If you guys don't like it, then don't fucking listen.
Whoa. Easy. We're quickly approaching 100,000 subscribers. What was the question? Callum, update on Callum. There's nothing to update. He's up in Sacramento. He's wrestling with Team Alpha Male. He's doing his thing. He comes home on Wednesday, but I leave for England on Saturday, so I won't see him much. And the next question was, I'm not going to air my dirty laundry in public on a podcast. A couple of people back home that I don't like. Everybody runs into people once upon a time here and there that they don't care for. And of course, at 41 years old, there's been a few of those, but I'm not going to sit here and go into details. But I do thank you for your question. Was that a man or a woman?
I don't know.
It was a bit borderline. What do you think, Brian? Man or woman?
The head shape says woman, but the beard says man.
Yeah, the beard was definitely a bit of a fly in the ointment, shall we say. But anyway, there you go. Listen, I have got a dash. I've got to make the contender. So thanks for tuning in. Apologies for this being a shorter one. We'll try and make it up on Thursday. Lewis and Harrington will be in Las Vegas. I'll be here. That's annoying. I'll be in Vegas the day after, but whatever.
So irritating.
We're going to break down Harrington's fight. It's going to be great. Don't miss it. You know, this is the big one. Him, an untrained fighter taking on another untrained fighter is the type of action that you don't want to miss. Until then, look after yourselves. Lewis.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you guys for listening. We'll check you guys on Thursday. Peace.